Resources Committee to order. The time is 1:36 p.m. Today is Monday, April 16th. Members present at this time, Representative Chris Birch, Representative Dave Tallarico, Representative George Rauscher, Representative Harriet Drummond, Representative Delana Johnson, Vice Chair Representative John Lincoln, Co-Chair Representative Andy Josephson, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. If we can please ask people to silence their cell phones while the meeting is in process, we'd appreciate that. We're going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record at 1:39. It's been a sort of unusual several days, and so we have had public testimony on House Bill 288 scheduled for a number of days, but unfortunately had to delay or cancel meetings, and so just want to put that on the record that we apologize for that, and certainly public testimony is very important to us. So it's sort of unfortunate just in these last several days with the unusual schedule that we've been a little out of sync and haven't been able to hold our meetings. So just wanted to say that before we got started here today. Representative Rauscher, it sounded like you had something you wanted to bring up before we started public testimony.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I have a few questions, and I guess it pertains to the second half, which of this piece of legislation, five on where it denotes JKO in 43.55.011. Those are not addressed at all in this bill before they're mentioned right there. Is that correct? They're actually in some other language that's not addressed in this.
Representative Rauscher, could you say the page number that you're looking
page
at?
Page 5. It okay. Starts, let's just go at line 31, page 5.
Representative Rauscher, that's true. This is all underlying statute, and so that you're just seeing the whole section get printed there. The change is on page 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rest of that is all the existing statute, and then again on page 10.
Correct.
But otherwise.
So that's where I can find those.
Mm-hmm.
And, through the Chair, Madam Chair, a follow-up question. What is the second half basically representing a multiplier for them to make payments on a prepayment schedule? Is that what correct?
Representative Rauscher, so if you look on page 1,
I was talking about 5 on. I'm sorry.
So if you look on page 1, it's amending section 4355011F.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're looking at the second half of the bill, mm-hmm. what it's adding in, because it's section F there where the minimum tax schedule gets changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this later section, for example, what you're looking at, the section that starts in section 2 on page 4, but where you're seeing the changes, for example, what you see on page 8
mm-hmm.
is the reference there, the percentage applicable under AS 43355011F.
Mm-hmm.
So it's referring back to section 1 where the change is being made. So the underlying statute stays the same, but because we're putting in that stair step, it's referring it back to the section where that gets added.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then the question is, it is a payment schedule, correctly? I mean, correct?
Representative Rauscher, that section is dealing with the way the taxes are paid to the state.
Correct.
So we're not sort of changing the way that they pay the taxes, but we're just referring back to the change in the minimum tax. So it's referring back to the change in the minimum tax, which happens in 011F.
So just for my sake, Madam Chair, what you're saying is the method of time and month and pre-payment exists already. You're just realigning it to go with the schedule that we've changed in the first half of the bill. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Of course. Any other questions? And we do have Dan Stickle from the Department of Revenue, Chief Economist here. Thank you for being here. Okay.
Comments on the bill, or are we?
Mm-hmm. But just Representative Rauscher had a question before we started that.
Where do we start on public testimony?
Public testimony, yes. And unfortunately, we only have a few people signed up because probably because of the changing schedule. Okay, so if there are any other questions, just please keep in mind that Mr. Stickle here is available in the audience. And we'll go ahead here at 1:43 p.m. and open public testimony. So first I see online we have Mr. Peter Morgan from Palmer.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then please provide us with your testimony.
Okay. Peter Morgan. I live in Palmer, Alaska. As I said, my name is Peter Morgan. I've lived in Alaska for 54 years. Again, I'm from Palmer, and I am testifying today in opposition to HB 288. I think HB 88 is a terrible policy. As someone who works in the construction industry, I have seen firsthand the detrimental effect that low oil prices have had on our economy. Beyond the immediate impacts to my friends and neighbors that work for the oil industry, I have witnessed the ripple effects throughout the overall economy as businesses cut back on spending and employees get laid off. I know a considerable amount of these pullbacks, if not all, are directly correlated with the amount of money the oil industry spends in the state. I have run and managed my own business. I cannot imagine how I would manage that business if the legislature decided to change or even proposed to change the amount of money I paid in taxes every year. It's not stable. It doesn't show that we have integrity as a state. There are now multiple oil tax bills in different committees. How is this good policy for this state? How will this help to increase jobs or increase investments? I've heard lots of talk about a fiscal plan. But I've heard very little from this legislature on plans to grow jobs and new opportunities. It seems like the only jobs that the people in the legislature are concerned about these days are the ones that are held by government employees. You may think that by raising taxes on the oil industry only impacts big corporations. The truth is, raising taxes on the oil industry can impact everyone, hairdressers, restaurant workers, and people in the construction industry like me. My hope is that the members of your committee that care about jobs, that care about investment, and care about the future of Alaska will vote no on this short-sighted bill. I can't say anything more. Please vote no on this bill. It's not in the best interest of Alaska. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan. We appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Birch has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. I could not agree with you more. This proposal represents nearly a quarter of a billion-dollar tax increase at a time where the industry really, really cannot bear that. I mean, we're trying to be competitive, and I very much appreciate your testimony. Are you involved in this industry in one way or another, sir?
Yes, I'm in the construction industry, and just to give you an example, I owned a business in the Valley in 1985. That year I did $3 million worth of business. The next year I did four. The following year, when things went to crap, I went down to about $250,000, and I had contractors walk away, leaving me holding the bag for $500,000. I'm not the kind of guy that has pockets like that to take care of these things. You guys are in control here. You need to show some integrity and some consistency with these oil companies. They can't take being jerked around like they've been jerked around for the last 10 years. We need a consistent policy. If you're going to do something like this, you need to put something in the clause that we won't change this for 15 or 20 years. How can anybody operate in this environment? The big ones are going to leave, and the little ones are going to come in and take their place, and they won't stay because they operate off of a lot smaller profit margin.
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
You've got to vote against this bill. Voting for it is not in the best interest of Alaska.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Mr. Morgan, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you calling in. It's good to hear from people, especially people that have been in private business and understand how the actions that are taken by this legislature can affect them and can so dramatically affect small businesses, even when we take any kind of action, but particularly creating this unstable environment that we've created here. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you calling in and giving us your perspective.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Johnson. I really appreciate you being there, and I want you to hold fast and use whatever power you can to make people realize how important this is and that we've got to get a consistent policy that's got to be the same for a long period of time. I mean, imagine if you had a mortgage that changed as often as you changed the oil tax policy. I mean, that would really be an adjustable rate mortgage, and I would never want to have one of those, and I wouldn't have the state wanting to have an adjustable rate, and for heaven's sakes, not the oil company. They'd go to another bank.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. Morgan, for calling in. I'm just curious how your business and your colleagues reacted when the Congress changed the tax structure in December. That's not consistent with what's been done for quite some time, and it's my understanding the taxes went down. I haven't seen that impact yet. But it's not.
I keep hearing that taxes have gone down, but they haven't gone down for me. I also think it's crazy to change a tax policy when we are how many trillion dollars? Again, we need consistency. We need to know what we're having to deal with. You can't change things like this every which way. We need that consistency. I mean, if you were to build into this bill, we will keep this rate for 15 or 20 or like a 30-year mortgage. People could deal with that. Oil companies could deal with that. They could project in the future what kind of expenditures they have to deal with and what kind of cost that they can handle. And then they can guess what their success rate is going to be and walk away from. I do not agree with what was done by President Trump. I really don't think it is in the best interest, long-term interests of this company or country until they get a handle on the debt. Just like in our state, you guys have to get a handle on the debt and our financial situation. And jerking the oil industry around is not going to help that.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Representative Rauscher, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't, but I will thank the gentleman for calling in, Mr. Morgan. I appreciate your testimony. Appreciate the idea of consistency that you have, and I also appreciate where you are coming from in the construction industry, where everything is very important. And I think that we might be upsetting that whole thing from the bottom up. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Morgan, this is Representative Tarr. I just wanted to say that we do hear you loud and clear, and one of the challenges, having been in the legislature when we put the current oil tax policy in place, is that oil was about $110 a barrel when we put it in place, and we didn't spend a lot of time contemplating the scenario we're in right now where we're stuck in this minimum tax. The 4% tax is the lowest tax we've ever had in the state history. And so it's just become kind of a challenge to reconcile. In my mind, sort of the mistake was that we didn't look at a broad range of prices. We thought at the time $60 seemed like a really low oil price that we wouldn't see. And then, of course, we went all the way down to 27. So I'm hoping there's some lessons learned as far as what we do policy-wise, and definitely agree we need to figure out a policy that's going to work well, and hopefully that will happen, and we will have the stability that you're speaking of. I just think right now the challenge is that we have sort of an unexpected scenario where we're stuck in this really low 4% minimum tax. And I just want to make one quick correction that the bill that we're considering, the committee substitute that's adopted, is the fiscal impact is $64 million for fiscal year 19, and that's because it's on the calendar year and the fiscal year is offset from that, so that's half a year. And then the next year, 139. And so it's not until you get into the 2021-22 that it gets a little bit above 200, but doesn't ever get to 250. So I just want to make sure that may have been closer to true for the original version of the bill, but that's been scaled back quite a bit in the current version that we're looking at, and just want to make sure we have that on the record.
Well, to me, that sounds like you're trying to make it easier to swallow over a long period of time. It just seems, you know, in 1977, we bought our home. Actually, we still live there now. In 1977, we got a loan, which we were very lucky to get, at 7.75% interest. Mm-hmm. You know, when the interest rates started going down, should I have not paid my loan? Should I have? I had the opportunity to go renegotiate my loan, but it was at the rate the bank set. It was not at the rate that the government set. I just don't think that you can change things just because it's not working out for you. Mm-hmm. I think if you go into an agreement and you have people put up the capital and the work to do something, you need to hold fast to what you agree to. I agree that what you did before was a mistake, was too low. Mm-hmm. But you can't change horses in midstream.
Mr. Morgan, thank you for your testimony, and just we have other folks signed up, so we're going to need to move on, but appreciate that you were able to spend a little over 20 minutes with us. We don't normally have the luxury of time, but we did today. So thank you so much for your testimony and follow-up questions. We appreciate that.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Have a great day. Next, we're going to go to Marliana Hall from the Resource Development Council.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Marliana Hall, and I'm the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Los
Ms. Hall, we're having just a little bit of trouble hearing you. If you might speak a little bit louder or closer to the phone, perhaps.
Can you hear me better?
That's perfect. Thank you.
Great. Good afternoon. My name is Marliana Hall. I'm the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. In brief, RDC is a statewide trade association comprised of individuals and companies from Alaska's oil and gas, mining, forest products, fisheries, and tourism industries, as well as the 12 land-owning Alaska Native corporations. My members are truly the lifeblood of Alaska's economy. We believe the best approach to expand the economy and generate new revenues for the state is to produce more oil, attract more tourists, harvest more fish and timber, and mine more minerals. With regard to House Bill 288, it represents the third straight year of increasing oil and gas production taxes in Alaska. By increasing taxes, HB 288 will increase costs and reduce Alaska's competitiveness for attracting the investment necessary to move forward with promising new projects on the North Slope that have the potential to move the needle in new oil production. Increased throughput in the Trans-Alaska pipeline system from these projects would help pull Alaska out of recession and generate more revenues than what would be raised from the House bill. When crafting legislation, I cannot overstate how important it is for the legislature to consider the impact on Alaska's competitiveness and future production. Oil and gas companies here must consistently compete for capital dollars within their global portfolio of assets and investment dollars. They are working hard to reduce costs in Alaska's high-cost Arctic environment. However, HB 288 will make Alaska projects more costly and less attractive. Under the current tax system, government share, state and federal combined, is still higher than the producers at every price point. In fact, the state gets paid even when companies are operating at a loss because it still collects royalties, property tax, and a gross production tax. We have a tax system that is working, even though the taxes paid to the state and federal government are higher than the revenues the producers receive. Thank you for the opportunity to offer RDC's perspective on HB 288 today, and I urge you to reject this legislation.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for Ms. Hall? Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to go to Aves Thompson from the Alaska Trucking Association. Mr. Thompson?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. My name is Aves Thompson. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement is an essential element in our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. With days remaining in the 90-day regular session, parenthetically, this was written a couple of days ago, a bill, House Bill 288, introduced in January, is now being heard for the first time that proposes yet another tax increase on the oil industry. Over the past few years, the oil industry has adjusted to the dramatic decrease in oil prices by reducing their costs and becoming more efficient to try to keep their heads above water. During that downturn, they continued to pay taxes in the form of royalties, property tax, and a gross production tax. They are beginning to rebound from this serious downturn, and this is not the time to penalize them by increasing taxes. The ramp up in North Slope production and activity demonstrates the current fiscal system is working. Our oil tax reform made Alaska more competitive and a more attractive place to invest. Investment is up and production is stable compared to a 4-8% annual decline under the previous fiscal system. House Bill 288 will further highlight Alaska's poor reputation in the oil and financial sectors, potentially jeopardizing the new investment necessary to bring on new production. The 2018 oil tax policy proposal represents, I believe, the eighth major tax change in the last 13 years. House Bill 288 will do nothing to encourage further production, nor does it provide any new jobs. It will make Alaska less competitive with other oil and gas jurisdictions by raising costs in an already high-cost Arctic environment, creating more harm to Alaska's largest industry and the state's economy. In the interest of time, Madam Co-Chair, let me sum up by saying the Alaska Trucking Association is opposed to House Bill 288. Please give the oil industry time to continue their rebound by making further investments and creating more jobs, both of which will be unlikely with another tax increase. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. I just did want to say that House Bill 288 was the first bill that the House Resources Committee heard this year. So it was introduced in the early part of January, or I guess mid-January when we started. And we did that on purpose so that it would be out there for consideration throughout the entire session as people were looking to elements that might complete a fiscal plan. And that's why we brought it back before the committee in a modified form here at this later time. But we did put it out there the first week of session so that there would be a lot of time for people to consider that. Any questions for Mr. Thompson? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mostly I just want to say thank you for calling in and giving your perspective. I too have concerns that as we spent most of the last session on oil tax bill, and now this year we've spent quite a bit of time on it, that it's somewhat irresponsible even to hear the bill. That's my feeling, and I too worry about the message that we send. And so I appreciated you calling in, and at least that's what I heard, that we have to be careful the message that we're sending to industry.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any other questions for or comments? I guess, Mr. Thompson, I just have one question. As we've been struggling here with a fiscal plan, we haven't been able to have a capital budget, really, just the bare minimum to get the federal matching dollars. And I guess how does your industry sort of think about the pieces of a fiscal plan and the need for a better, you know, capital budget, the things that are necessary for infrastructure investment? I don't know if you all have a position on that, but just if you do, I would love to hear that.
Madam Co-Chairman Tarr, our industry believes in a capital budget. That helps us. There creates freight to haul and all those other things. But we need to have an industry that's busy. We need to have jobs for drivers. We have trucks that have been parked for some time. We think that jobs are important, capital budgets are important, but most of all, keeping the industry interested in investing and creating more jobs in Alaska is very important to us. And that's why we think that giving the oil industry an opportunity to rebound will result in increased production, will result in increased revenues to the state of Alaska under the current tax regime. And in no circumstances then has it achieved that goal of creating jobs and creating opportunities for state capital budgets.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I guess I just want you to know that we're listening, and my struggle is just trying to put those pieces together and figure out, you know, how it is that we can sort of stabilize the situation. But when I look at the just the oil revenue component of it, it would take about 200,000 new barrels of oil to stabilize our financial situation. And with what we know is coming online, you know, in the coming year or so, we just don't have that number of barrels in any of the upcoming projects. So I'm just struggling with how, because we get messages from a lot of different industries, and the capital budget is something we're just hearing a lot about, and people saying, you know, after all these years of not having one, we really, really need to get a capital budget, and that folks, I would say, in the skilled workforce area, like the folks that you represent, I've been part of that conversation. So that's what prompted my question. So I appreciate your answer, and just want you to know that it's a real challenge to figure out where to put these pieces together so we can accomplish multiple things at once.
Chairman Tarr, if I might, just one more comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
If the industry is not willing to come to Alaska to invest, because we don't compete very well in the global capital market. Our costs are high. We're competing with shale oil in other parts of the country that costs a fraction of what it costs to lift a barrel of oil in Alaska. I'm not here to argue tax policy with you. All I know is that if we increase taxes, it's going to reduce the incentive for investment and thereby not create the new jobs that we need to keep our industry alive. So thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your testimony. Going next now to Curtis Thayer from the Alaska Chamber of Commerce.
Hello, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the president and CEO of the Alaska Chamber of Commerce. We are a 65-year-old organization and represent over 700 members, and that translates to over 100,000 Alaska employees. And we are strongly opposed to HB 288. Alaska is struggling to move beyond the recession that we're in, and this legislation will only prolong our recession. And it will continue to cast Alaska in a bad light, And that's one thing that we need to avoid. We have, as many of the speakers have already said before me, we have changed our tax policy several times. We've never given one a chance to work. And I find it interesting that the legislature this year is looking at forward funding education beyond 1 year. We're looking at 2 years. And the reason for that is for stability. Makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense to the business climate here in Alaska. Yet we do not want to give the same stability to the oil industry, who ironically pays 80% of the state bills. And so I think it's just a time that we need to take a pause, not look at new tax structure, and allow what we have to continue to work. And if people want to look for ways with the budget, we can always look at continuing to reduce spending. And that is not something that the legislature has looked at doing this past year, and it is something that 72% of Alaskans would like to see us continuing to put a downward pressure on our spending rather than always raising taxes. And so with that, I don't want to take any more time, but the Alaska Chamber is opposed to 288 at this time.
Thank you. We have questions from Co-Chair Josephson and then Rauscher.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mr. Thayer, you said that the oil industry pays 80% of our budget, but our budget is in the nature of $4 billion, and that would mean our severance tax and royalty were over $3 billion, but they're not. So can you explain why you said that?
Well, when I say the industry accounts for approximately, it's 77% of Alaska's unrestricted general fund revenues that we have right now. When you look at when we pay with royalty, when you look at property tax, when you look at the income tax, and the severance tax, the oil industry represents the majority of the taxpayer. And right now, my references, it's 77%.
I think he clarified and changed his answer.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, to Mr. Thayer, I was just wondering, should this bill pass, Where do you see us? How do you figure it will affect us in the next 2 years to 3 years here? Should this bill actually pass?
Well, I think if a bill like this is to pass, that's one of the challenges that we've had. Like other speakers have said, we are trying to gain investment dollars from around the country, not only around the country, and we have high costs. And a bill like this will just continue to say that we are an unstable place to do business, just because, you know, we continue to change our tax policy as it suits us. If we have a spending habit where the budget has raised potentially $500 million, and then we want to go and raise taxes on the industry to pay for it. We do not, Alaska does not have a reputation of being able to control its expenses without taxing the industry more money. And we just need to settle down with our taxes as far as on the industry, and at the same time we've got to continue to look at ways to reduce the footprint of government. For us to be able to succeed.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you, Mr. Thayer.
this is Representative Tarr. Since we have a little bit of time, the luxury of time today, I know I saw recently a poll that you all had put out, and I think that's probably where you're quoting from in terms of the budget cuts. But what's difficult is we frequently hear people say cut the budget, but then when you ask where, there's not a lot in terms of the answer of where. And I don't know if you asked those kind of questions in your poll, but if you did, I guess that could be instructive for us, because the budget situation is not resolved at this time, and if there's broad public support for cuts in some area, that could be helpful for us to know.
Well, two points. Ironically, the place they would like to cut the most is the legislature. The number one, obviously there's not a lot of money there, we both know. But one thing is, case in point, is last year the Walker administration did a study on health care. And by consolidating health care just among the public employees, it would save the state $655 million over 7 years. There are still areas to reduce the footprint of government. There being a perfect example, it does not affect a program and it does not affect a position in state government. It just merely consolidates and creates a health care plan going forward. There's a place for savings of $70 million right off the bat. So there's still areas to look, and private sector is more than willing to work with the legislature. Not only does the chamber have several suggestions, and we can share our polling with you, but I know Commonwealth North also did a whole study that was updated last year on areas of where we can look at reducing the footprint of government. So we're more than glad to work with you on that.
Well, I hope at some point we do get to put some time into health care reforms, because that is something that's crippling all of our local governments, state, local, right, municipal. And so, unfortunately, we probably won't be able to solve that problem this year. But I do appreciate the suggestion, and would ask that if there's anything you want to share on that we would be happy to share it with members. I think Representative Rauscher has another comment or question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add that I could think of almost 80 ways we could cut the budget, but that's just my opinion.
But that was $40 million. So then our problem is, instead of $2.5 billion, our problem would be, right, $2.496 billion.
It still answers the question with which ways.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Representative Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we are getting into some discussion on kind of budget-saving measures, we had some testimony earlier about an oil tax credit bill bond, and it was discussed that there was 37 beneficiaries of that were, relatively small businesses. But I was wondering, since we're kind of taking the luxury of time, any insider perspective as to, I mean, it seems like a jobs bill to me. You'd be putting people to work, but are any of your members engaged with that on the tax, as beneficiaries or creditors, if you will, on the $1 billion that the state of Alaska still owes on tax credits, through the chair?
Yes. The Alaska Chamber has written a letter. We support the concept of that bill because we owe the money. It's clear we owe it, and if we could put that money back on the street to invest in oil industry, invest in Alaska, that is better than dragging it out. Not only does it jeopardize those companies being able to continue doing business in Alaska and the workers that affects, but at least it moves it forward. It is an obligation we owe. We need to pay it. And if that is the vehicle the legislature chooses to use, then we support that type of vehicle being used.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Of course. Any other comments? Representative Parrish, I think, had one.
Thank you. I only meant to inquire how many people we have remaining to testify.
Two.
Okay.
Okay, I think we're done. Thank you, Mr. Thayer, and we'll look for any follow-up information you want to share.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much.
Next, we go to Cheryl Bowie. Ms. Bowie, if you could please state your name for the record and any affiliation, we'd love to hear your testimony.
My name is Cheryl Bowie, and I have no direct affiliation right now. I'm calling to represent myself and my private company at Dreaming Butterfly Botanicals. And I would like to say I am Alaska native. I'm also a former oil field employee, and I worked for the medical director at Alyeska Pipeline. And I would like to say how much I miss the investment climate and the work that used to be happening in Alaska. And recently I served as a liver disease fellow for a nationwide advocacy group. And in that process, I identified some work that I would like to do, but as a result of, surprisingly, the restrictive investment environment in the oil field industry, I am not able to accomplish the work that I would like to do with hemp. And so I would like to do some research on hydrocarbons and the uptake and with different plants, and cannabis happens to be one that's really great. Then I would like to take that material, turn it into a cloth because it acts as an anti-infective, and make smocks for medical personnel to help reduce healthcare-associated infections, which would help reduce our high-cost medical industry also here. And it would give a way for me to give back in a meaningful way. But this environment, I have like probably, I don't know, at least 20 investors waiting. And as a result, I've been like on hold for years and years now because of this really restrictive environment. So I'm calling in opposition, and I'm calling in support of releasing the talent and our mineral resources in Alaska. And I would just like to remind everybody, our biggest natural resource in Alaska is its people. And we need to do stuff to protect our long-term health and welfare here. So with that, that is it. And just thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Ms. Bowie. We appreciate your testimony. And I just want to make sure we had you in the right place, because we were considering House Bill 288, which is about increasing the minimum tax for our oil and gas severance tax. And I just want to...
You know what? All I do, I support the industry leaders in this area, because this, I mean, all it has been is decades of just massive layoffs and less production in our oil field. And we all depend on it. And so there is not one industry here that is not impacted by the oil industry. And I just feel like... whatever I can do to help increase our economy and get us active and moving again and increase the barrels in, I will back that up. So it hasn't been working the way all these really restrictive high tax bills that just keep asking more and more of people who want to spend really hard-earned dollars in a really, really expensive environment. I mean, it's just bleeding over into everything, and it needs to stop.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your testimony. Does anyone have a question or comment for the testifier? Representative Drummond.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Ms. Bowie. This is Representative Drummond. I'm not sure if I heard you say it right, but something about carbon uptake by marijuana fibers or something like that. I hope you know that. Can you clarify what you meant by that comment?
Well, cannabis happens to be a plant that has a really high capacity of uptake in soil. So that means whatever you put it in, and in comparison with other plants that have been measured scientifically for their phytoremediation capacity, with hydrocarbons or hard minerals or anything else, it actually measures in at the top, if not above, almost any other plant. And this is just would be a great little thing to add to help increase our commitment to our environment and our commitment to production and our commitment to people by supporting that and by the research of plants and what they can do. And, I mean, you could take, you know, the cannabis that's grown in a soil-contaminated area, and you're going to see the soil clean itself up faster. It'll help you absorb spills even better. You can actually fashion the material. It gets burned down into nano sheets at the larger universities around the world right now, just to measure its capability of delivering different medicines, in addition to how many minerals and how many therapeutic, not only hydrocarbon stuff or petrochemical stuff, but just the capacity for it to contain and stabilize minerals is so great that they're even using it with graphene to make batteries, just because the ligand in cannabis is a much more stable ligand for mobile batteries.
Ms. Bowie, we talk
about our diversity in energy development here, and we don't have any. And this would be a really nice complementary thing. And I've also worked in the telecom industry, and we always had to have uninterrupted power supplies for our telecommunication systems.
Ms. Bowie, we're so remote,
and it's so hard to do all that stuff. It would just be a great option.
Ms. Bowie, I really appreciate what you have to say, although it doesn't have a whole lot to do with House Bill 288. It does have a whole lot to do with Senate Bill 6, which was signed into law by the governor last week.
It does have a lot to do with it because, you guys, the restrictive environment, we can't have hemp on any type of production sites for the oil industry. The federal regulations are so restrictive here. We don't have research. We could be getting in millions and millions and millions of dollars if you guys helped work with this industry instead of separate us from everything and listen to science instead of big emotive policymakers. But yes, I absolutely support this oil tax. And I'm telling you why I support it is because the more opportunities there are for development, then the more opportunities I have to do my work. So I absolutely support the advancement of our oil industry here.
Ms. Bowie, this is, again, Representative Drummond. Senate Bill 6 was signed into law by the governor last week, which legalizes industrial hemp growing in Alaska. If you would get in touch with my office, I would really appreciate that.
Thank you, Ms. Bowie.
Okay,
appreciate your testimony today. Next, we're going to go to Alicia Sira from the Alaska Miners Association.
Good afternoon. My name is Alicia Sira. I am Deputy Director for the Alaska Miners Association. Thank you so much for the opportunity to comment on HB 288 today. AMA is a nonprofit membership organization established in 1939 to represent the mining industry throughout Alaska. The AMA has a diverse membership composed of more than 1,500 members that come from 8 statewide branches in Anchorage, Denali, Fairbanks, Haines, Juneau, Kenai, Ketchikan, Prince of Wales, and Nome. Our members include prospectors, geologists, engineers, suction dredge miners, small family mines, junior mining companies, and major mining companies, as well as oil and gas and mining support service companies. While the mission of AMA is to promote responsible mineral development in Alaska, we appear before you today, or I'm testifying today, to comment on HB 288 because not only is a healthy oil and gas industry crucial for a healthy mining industry, a healthy oil and gas industry is good for Alaska. With regard to HB 288, an oil tax bill, raising taxes will further disincentivize much-needed investment in Alaska. It's a policy of Alaska Miners Association to encourage the state to maintain an equitable and stable tax and royalty structure on state-owned resources and to support measures to continue the trend in increased Alaska oil production. Further, the mining industry recognizes the importance of increasing production in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and urges you to reject this bill. Alaska needs to have stable taxes to stay competitive with the lower 48 and the rest of the world. HB 288 moves this in the wrong direction. HB 288 will do nothing to encourage for future production. It will make Alaska less competitive with other oil and gas jurisdictions by raising costs in an already high-cost Arctic environment, creating more harm to Alaska's economy. In closing, I urge you, the House Resources Committee, to reject HB 288. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, we appreciate your testimony. Those are all of the individuals that we have online at this time. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Record, because it's public testimony, what we're going to do is just take a at ease for about five more minutes, see if anyone else joins us, and then we will leave public testimony open, but we will complete today's meeting, and then we'll decide if we're going to take action at a future meeting. So with that, we'll be at ease. Any additional folks join us just now, but we're going to hold this bill and we'll leave public testimony open until a future time because of our weird and erratic schedule lately. What we've typically done in the past on something like this is try to have some evening testimony because it's a big deal, and that way folks that are at work during the day have the opportunity to call in, and that is always my preference to make that opportunity available. While we're still on 288, I did want to point out from the report in the slide deck that we used, surprisingly, and I'm not sure how this happened, but we had a slide that was from this 2016 oil and gas taxation comparison. And in it, you will notice the graphs, that one of which was used in the slide, properly labeled, but then when we pulled it offline, I just didn't notice, and we had pulled it kind of quickly. So my sincere apologies for not having noticed that. But the actual slides with the same information are in the report, and Thatcher will send that to everyone so everyone has a copy of it. But I think it's why I wanted to also point it out is just that it's a good report, and it's not a lengthy read. So I would recommend it to folks as we consider, you know, different opportunities. It goes through, and, for example, some don't have property taxes, so that's one thing that makes it different. It does, you know, compare Alaska to other places. There's a lot of variation in terms of incentives, and that's something we keep thinking about and talking about if the working group goes forward. Some of them are more like what our mining tax does, because our mining tax, for example, you have a three-year tax holiday, and so that's the time in which you're supposed to recover your exploration and early investment costs while you ramp up production. So it as we always are sort of trying to do these apples to apples comparisons and have as much information as possible. So we will send out that report to make sure everyone has it. And I believe the slide deck has been corrected, but it is the same slides that came from the report, but just used a wrong one in error. So apologies again. Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we are now in the middle of a public testimony, are we going to start with a date for amendments after we hear the last of public testimony, or do you want to set that date now?
That is a very good question. Thank you, Representative Rauscher. We do have a Wednesday meeting scheduled, and I think that everyone around here is in the mood to kind of wrap things up. So I would only expect us to have a couple more meetings. So if folks do have amendments that they'd like to offer on 288, maybe we could ask those to be due by close of business on Wednesday. And then if we did take up additional public testimony on Wednesday, you know, then the next time, if we had one additional meeting, we could do amendments in consideration of the bill. Does that work?
Is closed, Madam Chair, is close of business on Wednesday, 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Thank you.
Does that sound good? So we could do that for 288. And then, again, we'll stay in close contact with a regular schedule. If for some reason we're on the floor considering a budget proposal, then we'll have to change gears. Representative Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't support this. And one of the concerns I have is the process. Is we had this oil tax, you know, this study group that ostensibly was going to be organized after the last time we met last year to consider, you know, tax overhaul and how it's going to impact and how everything interacted. Well, we have a wholesale upside, I mean, just, you know, a change in the oil tax structure that didn't even come to resources and went straight to finance. And then this, I don't think this has had any of the benefit of the collaboration and discussion as I thought the study group was set up to do, is because we kind of made all these changes last year, said, okay, we're going to have a study group, let's deliberate on this and figure out what's the best path forward. And I feel like this is really, I think we're just kind of throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And I think as a member of this committee, I was a little concerned that we didn't see the tax overhaul bill that went to finance. Obviously somebody else is making those decisions, but that's a little bit disappointing. And this, as we've had ample testimony, this proposal is yet another change. It's a quarter of a billion dollar increase, and I think it would have benefited by having the some sort of a deliberative process, and certainly through the interim. So, and I don't know how long these committees roll on. I mean, I thought that the committees generally wrapped up, a couple weeks before the end of session, which, was 90 days yesterday. But I don't know if we're hearing this and somebody's going to, hit the gong and we're done or what. It seems to me like we shouldn't be running everybody through this strenuous exercise if it's got no chance of, getting across the finish line. And I leave that to your judgment and discussion in the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to kind of have a little dialogue here. I think it's helpful.
Thank you, Representative.
Very briefly on this.
Respond just quickly to that? I appreciate those comments. I think they're very fair. And I don't anticipate that we'll have many more meetings. So we've kind of worked through virtually everything that's come before the committee. If you look on what bills have been referred to the committee, there are a few listed, but some of those we never received committee hearing requests for, and that's why those weren't heard. There's one exception to that, which was an issue with a bill of Representative Tallarico's that we weren't able to resolve, and I haven't given up on that one either. So, as a context of, not probably too many more meetings. On the working group, and this is a good lesson for me, the intention of that was it would be passed in 111, and then we would have some time during last interim to work, because we were actually supposed to bring recommendations before the legislature this year. Unfortunately, because we spent so much time in session last year, we didn't wrap up until the end of July. August was pretty much a wash because people were just getting home and, basically regrouping for their lives. Senator Giesel and I started working on that in early September. We held a very successful 101 where we had almost 100 people participate. But then, unfortunately, we came back to special session, and that consumed basically the rest of the year, because then when we got back, it was the holidays and people were moving back to Juneau. I was very encouraged and still remain encouraged by that, by the potential for that process. We did an end-of-year report, and Senator Giesel and I recommended that the working group stay together for this full calendar year, which was outside of the recommendations in 111. And she and I just met last week. I'm hopeful that we will reconvene. There was, once everything got out of schedule, we met once at the beginning of session, but we never anticipated that that group would have enough capacity. And you can see some of the members sitting here, and I would think there would be agreement on this. Given all the things that are happening with the regular session schedule, it's just difficult to sort of take on another single project. And so the idea is now, as we transition into interim, hopefully, very soon, that now this could be something that people and, other members would be welcome to participate if you have the interest, but something we could really put time into. But with all of that said, I do want to make it clear that the goal of the working group isn't necessarily to draft a bill that's a tax increase. The goal of the working group is to take the information from the consultants and, for example, one of the criticisms is it's too complex, right? So, it may be that the end result is a new policy that's simpler for the state to understand and administer that doesn't result in new revenue. It could be the same revenue amount, but it's easier to administer tax. We'd like to consider things like the A-STAR project, and whether we should take the lessons learned from the credit experience where we didn't have any sort of strings attached, if you will, and think about ways the state could otherwise invest that are more beneficial to the entire industry instead of maybe specific companies and, that give us more return on that investment. Those are the kind of questions I hope that the working group will be able to really delve into and put some thought into with all the expertise of the you know, the people that will be members of it and other members that want to participate and share, like yourself, that have a lot of experience in resource development. But I just want to make sure that we don't go into that just suggesting the outcome is going to be a tax increase, because that's not really necessarily the purpose of it. The purpose of it is more comprehensive review of the tax policy to look for ways it's having, you know, working well, not working well, and what our different opportunities for the long term are. And so I'm very sensitive to the criticisms of frequent changes. And when we started out with 111 last year, we said we had hoped we would get to something where, you know, we felt good and could set it aside for at least 5 or maybe 7, 10 years. And unfortunately, you know, maybe this, you know, there's probably a variety of feelings on this, but unfortunately, I think some people feel like we didn't quite get there with 111. So hopefully that, you know, is a little bit of response to some of those thoughts. It sounded like Representative Josephson also wanted to add in.
Well, just on this topic, on the minimum tax issue, this topic was in this room before this committee in 2016, a governor's bill, same topic 2017, and now 2018. So I think intellectually it hasn't been, it's not foreign to us. That's one comment I wanted to make. It's my understanding this is our fifth hearing on House Bill 288, and we heard it early. That certainly gave the members, we're all busy, but that gave the members time to reflect on it. Relative to when the committee shuts down, we just referred a bill from one of your colleagues, Gary Knopp, that came from another committee. You can see that a number of committees are winding down, and that's likely what we'll do too. But until we adjourn sine die, we're a standing committee, and we may indeed meet.
Any other comments? Or Representative Tallarico is a former co-chair of this committee. If you have any words of wisdom.
Boy, I wish I had some wisdom to share, but I seem to be lacking wisdom here.
We're all out after. It runs out after 90 days.
Right. Kind of does.
where's Representative Seaton when you need a refill, right? Well, I hope that was helpful. I don't know if Representative Birch, if you have any other comment on that. Or
yeah, the only other observation I would have is that I know there's kind of a mention in passing of a kind of a sidebar discussion with Mr. Rosario regarding, you know, what he would like or wouldn't like. And I would encourage the group, if we do have access to him as a resource or anybody of his caliber or qualifications, that we make that available, you know, certainly to the working group. And, mm-hmm. and I would hope that we'd have access to that information.
Sure, certainly. And what I can say for members is that is under the purview of Senator Stedman as the chair. But I think if you want to communicate that and the importance of that, then I certainly support that and say please do. And, you know, we'll try to make every effort. I still think that given, you know, the complexity of oil and gas taxation and the varying views, that if we commit to a process and put some time into it, that something really good could happen. And so I'm going to remain optimistic about that. Before we finish out today, I realize that I did not thank our LIO moderator, Leah Kraft, and Ms. Tillinghast for their work today. So thank you so much for being here, as always, and thank you for your assistance. And then wanted to mention that last year we had gone on the Greens Creek mine, and that was very successful. I really appreciated the opportunity, as did other members, it sounded like. And Representative Birch had brought the opportunity of going on a Kensington mine tour to our attention. So we've been in contact with them Mondays and Thursdays. Work best for them. It's a 5 a.m. departure and a 3:45 p.m. return. They need at least 2 days' notice. So we will continue conversation about that. And hopefully we'll be able to fit that in, if not this Thursday, possibly next Monday, and just see how things go. So we'll keep in touch with that. And also, just because we are in the winding down and maybe not many more meetings in case we don't have another one, want to make sure to thank our committee staff, Thatcher Brower and Tom Atkinson, who have done excellent work. I think all of us could agree this session in getting the volumes of paper to where they needed to be and all of the records in place and keeping us organized. So I am very grateful for both of your hard work, and I hope that I can speak on behalf of the committee in saying that.
You can.
Yes. So with that, we will be adjourned from today's meeting at 2:43 p.m. Thank you.